This is Advocate Radio, and you're listening to the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, August 24th. I'm Carrie Mitchell, one of the editors here at Advocate, and with me today are Ellen Raff, neighborhood columnist.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And Carol Toller, neighborhood blogger.
Thank you for having me.
Today we're going to talk about a couple of news pieces in the world of commercial real estate, the first being what's going on at Lake Highlands Plaza. Once again, we've got some news on the center at Walnut Hill and Audelia, as well as the future of Medallion Center Target, especially considering that a Sam's Club and Walmart double-decker is coming in nearby. So, Carol, you posted on Monday morning, I think it was, about some news about the Lake Highlands Plaza at Walnut Hill and Audelia, and we're circling back now, it looks like, to Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, which had initially expressed interest in the project. Tell us what you know.
Well, for those that have been on vacation and have heard parts and missed parts, that center was foreclosed upon and the church announced that they were bidding on it, and another group was the high bidder and was working to put together financing and was not able to do so. And Lake Highlands United Methodist Church says they're back in the bidding, and not only that, but they've now secured financing from the church conference financial folks. So that makes them a premier bidder based on the fact that the money is ready to go. Certainly someone could come along and outbid them. My guess would be that would have to be an entity that had their financing in place or was very close to having it in place. So it'll be interesting. There's been rumors all summer about different groups that might want to buy, different groups that might be bidding. In bidding negotiations like this, everybody wants to keep quiet. And so it's difficult to get a whole lot of information from anybody. But I do think that there is another group actively trying to put together a package where they could buy the center and then split it into two pieces and let one side develop the retail and let the other group develop the home sites. And that means Spring Branch would no longer go through the center. It would be walled off, and the back part of the center that used to be a Walmart and Drug Emporium would actually be part of the neighborhood on the other side of the brick wall, and the front would remain retail. So it would look different, so that it's two competing uses for the same property, two very different uses for the same property, and as in, I'm sure, most foreclosures, fastest, biggest dollars will win, and we still don't know who that will be, but for the church to have financing in place is a big piece of the puzzle.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned two very different projects that could go in there. You mentioned some in your post about, which we'll also put on the blog of the podcast, about what the church is hoping to do with the property. What else do we know about that? Is it going to continue to look the same, or are they reusing those spaces? Do we know?
You know, we don't know for sure, and the church folks on the committee, since we last heard from the church 2 months ago, they have actively put together a church committee of about 18 very involved people in the community to focus on all different pieces of it, and they've been meeting, and they've been developing some ideas, and really some of the brainstorming has been going on for several weeks, if not months. And as I say in the post, the property was attractive to the church several years ago when they were trying to figure out what to do with the church. They wanted to redevelop the sanctuary, expand the sanctuary, change it. And they said, gosh, that piece of property sure would be fabulous to just build a whole new church on. And I think a lot of people in the church fell in love with that idea, and it just was too expensive. And so when it was foreclosed on, just some general brainstorming began, but what the church planners have discussed is outreach activities. Part of their model is Watermark Church, which started in Lake Highlands out of Lake Highlands High School and became wildly popular and has expanded tremendously and has opened a big, beautiful new facility on LBJ near Hillcrest. and it drew a lot of young Lake Highlands families with kind of a different way of thinking about church. Service is a big part of it. Institutional thinking is not. Giving and doing, someone said thinking of church as a verb, and that outlook and not a lot of institutional, not even necessarily always meeting on Sunday or always meeting at the same time or sitting in a pew singing a hymn, a different idea. So the idea is, what can we do to reach a younger population, and what is it that other churches are doing that are drawing those people away from us? And things like a coffee house, a discussion area, a bookstore, a place to sit around on plush couches and talk about life is appealing. Service ministries are appealing to that group. The preschool idea is appealing to that group. So it's
Carol, the preschool that the church has now in their location at Plano and McCree is very popular, isn't it, already in Lake Highlands?
It is, and, you know, White Rock United Methodist Church has one also. That's the church that Lake Highlands United Methodist Church is partnering with. So the idea is that put the two together and it will be bigger. I know that Lake Highlands United Methodist has had a long wait list for many years. So the idea is the ability to expand would be able to handle more families in Lake Highlands and draw, you know, the property is just such a such a central location in the heart of Lake Highlands, and we've discussed what is the center of Lake Highlands, and a lot of people say that's it, and it would be high profile for Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, and it would be a place where all the young families in Lake Highlands would be aware of it. Whether or not they decide to join is another story. The church hopes they will.
Well, what I would like to say is that, you know, I never joined the church or went to a service there, but I certainly did go there a lot when my son was in preschool. And another thing that I've always wanted to see more of in Lake Highlands is activities for teenagers that would be family friendly, where they wouldn't have to be going from one dark building lots and lots of blocks to another dark building, or, you know, have to always drive far distances. So if there was something like a coffee house that would have maybe a young people's night, I would be really excited about that.
You know, there was a very popular kid from that church who went to London during his college years and found that they have a pretty active Christian coffee house culture there. And he loved it, and he sat down with Christians, non-Christians, people of lots of different faith, and found that he learned a lot and developed his own ministry through that. And it's been something that kind of idea of outreach in a more natural way is appealing to this younger crowd. And so, and I think the church is really still in brainstorming mode. In fact, at the meeting Sunday and at the meeting Wednesday night at 6 o'clock at the church, they're passing around the collection plate and asking, instead of money, for suggestions and questions to be put in, so that people who have a suggestion or a need or think the church is failing to fulfill a need in the community can suggest that. So the idea is, let's just start fresh. You know, the campaign is Rethink Church. And so it's how can we do a better job of reaching the community? And I think that my impression of the crowd was is they were behind the idea of having a big, splashy presence in the community and reaching people that aren't being reached.
That's interesting. Now, and you mentioned it in your post also, and we talked the retail connection last week and how that kind of fell through. And you mentioned that there were some, looked like maybe neighborhood investors who were trying to get together and get behind the retail connection. That fell through. Well, I'm guessing we don't know who those investors are.
You know, I do not. There's been lots of speculation. I do not know. And I think that there continues to be both individuals, families, and companies that are interested in investing in Lake Highlands in general and that center specifically. But no one can put together the big enough package with, you know, the original purchase price of that property was $8 million. It's now below $4 million. So it's not all the money in the world, but it's enough that no one can seem to put it together.
Do we know if this other group that you mentioned, that other might be looking at doing part homes, part retail, are these some of the same people that might have been on the other side of the investing, or we don't know that either?
I believe it to be a completely different group.
Okay.
I believe that there are groups in addition to that that are looking, and so I think we just have to wait and see what the details are. And it's possible that if there's a group that's trying to put together money, that will become more difficult, knowing that there's a different bidder that has the financing in place.
And that's what you mentioned on the blog, that the finances are the big deal right now. And I think this is the case in commercial real estate and residential real estate. If you have the money to actually purchase the property at this point, as opposed to, you know, no one's doing the 0% loans, you got to have enough money up front, those kinds of things.
And I think the seller found the church to be an unattractive buyer because the church had a lot of hurdles to get over, not just in finances, but in getting the approval of the church. And I think from the church membership. And I think that a lot of the church membership, frankly, at the meeting on Sunday, were saying, you know, frankly, we're struggling to pay bills. You know, I think a lot of churches are struggling to meet expenses in today's economy. How can we go out and buy a $3 million piece of property? And 100% financing cures a lot of that. The church is not likely to hold the entire piece if it purchases it. It is likely to sell off a piece or pieces in order to pay back the loan. And so the part it will keep, and again, I don't think the church even really knows exactly what it will do. They haven't revealed any plans or drawings or anything. But the idea that purchasing the property and then having time to develop that helps.
Okay.
If you can secure the property and then decide exactly what you want to do, it makes a lot of difference. And then, you know, the church membership is frankly afraid of debt in general,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably a wise position to take.
Just right now with this economy, they can do something that they couldn't do.
But you know, it's also true, and it was brought up in the meeting, that if you get 3 or 4 years out and you just haven't seemed to be able to make it work, hopefully the economy is recovered and the property's back to being valued at $8 million. And
maybe a good investment.
Yeah, it may end up being a good investment, whether the church ever really uses it a whole lot or not. Now, one of the things they discussed at the meeting was temporary uses for the property. For instance, you were talking about teenager gathering place. They were talking about the Walmart facility as an indoor soccer facility for, you know, kids and young people, and that would not be a permanent use for that. But during the time when they were figuring out what to do, are there some uses for a big empty building?
Tell them skateboard park.
Okay, skateboard park.
I had a colleague request that there be an exercise place open during the day for parents to go roller skating, because it's the best kind of exercise. It's fun and it's a good exercise, so you can throw that out there.
I will, and you know, this is the kind of brainstorming that the members of this new committee are so excited about, because they say they've been overwhelmed with calls and ideas and emails about people saying we could do this and we could do that, and it's, you know, it would be a big gathering place. And lots of people in Lake Highlands are either unchurched or are going driving to Park Cities to go to church, or driving to Plano or whatever, now decide that they want to stay in Lake Highlands on Sunday and make some connections.
Not only are they driving out of Lake Highlands for church, they're driving out of Lake Highlands for skateboard park and, you know, indoor soccer or whatever other nice thing that might, a few of the nice things we talked about.
Right. So in a sense, the church could possibly fulfill some neighborhood communal needs with that property, and And what you're saying is they might use some of it, might sell off some of it. And the financing is not coming from necessarily Lake Highlands United Methodist Church. We're talking about financing coming from the United Methodist Conference that...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Which that is making the big difference in where the financing and that it has it.
Correct. And that also indicates a larger approval mindset from the larger United Methodist Church conference that says the idea of this church blending or partnering with White Rock, trying to have a bigger presence in this region, is attracted to them as well. Now, one of the things that was discussed at the meeting is the public relations issue that this discussion has brought on. There was some negative discussion towards the church from some of the neighbors who say they'd rather have houses there. They'd rather have single-family houses there. And I think there still is a population that feels that way. One question was asked at the meeting, can everybody raise their hand who lives within walking distance of that center? And I think the implication was that the people around the center should have a greater voice in what's going to happen. I think the person who asked that was surprised to see half of the people in the audience raise their hand. And so I think it really is a grassroots kind of a feeling. And frankly, I would never probably walk there, but I'm at the center often enough that I think a lot of us feel like we have a vested interest in what happens at that center.
Yes.
Now, how will the other businesses who still are in that center, like Highlands Cafe and my office and those places, feel they have an especially vested interest? I don't know if they'll welcome this or not. I don't know if they have a preferred bidder or preferred owner, preferred landlord. But again, it gets all back to the financing every time.
It may, yeah, and it may not have anything to do with whether what they welcome or not. Something is going to happen, so it may be good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about one more place relative to the neighborhood that we found out is going to stick around, which is the Medallion Center Target. There's been speculation that since there's two Targets, one at Medallion Center and one in the Super Target also at Skillman and Abrams. Medallion Center is at Northwest Highway and Skillman, I believe. That would one go away, especially with Sam's and Walmart building a double-decker store there at Timber Creek, also kind of the Skillman Northwest Highway area. And the word is that no, not only is the Medallion Target not going away, it is quote-unquote expanding, not really in square footage, but in that it's going to be offering grocery and those sorts of things. And we mentioned, when talking about the center of Lake Highlands, Ellen, you mentioned that you might think that Super Target in that corner over there
is a retail center.
Very huge retail center. Do people still shop at Medallion?
Well, yes, some people do. They might not be, in some cases they are the same people, but I say largely they might not be. There are apartment buildings over there. People can walk there, and some of them do. When I hear expanding, what I think of is, and expanding without square footage, what I think of is facelift, more different kinds of retail. So it was suggested some groceries, produce and meat. If you walk there, I can't think of another place around there where you could walk and get any groceries. So that's great. For me, what this seems like is here we are in a down economy. So in a way, I'm always confounded when a large retail presence goes away, or even a fairly popular one goes away, because they lose their lease. So I hope that in what's happening is that some of these places or whoever is negotiating the leases begins to realize, hey, you know, it's a great thing to have an ongoing business here. Let's work with them and keep them here. I hope that's what this might signal. Now, I have to say I saw another produce sighting. Just a sighting. I didn't look into it or anything. I was getting my pictures. But in Walgreens at Royal and Abrams. So if it's like the new, you know, cool thing for these places to do is to put in produce, hey, Why
is
not?
Is it the farmer's market idea maybe expanding to the chains? I don't know.
That could be. I didn't think of that aspect. But what I did think is that I know that at that Walgreens, which is the closest one to my house, also is close to apartments. A lot of people who go there just go in there for. They do have some small groceries there. And how great that they can get a little bit of produce now.
Interesting. Do you guys shop at Medallion Target?
You know, I always go to Super Target first, but like I was in there last week, I needed two matching lamps, so I found one at one store and I had to go there. I end up going to both in the same day a lot when I'm trying to find pieces to the sets. But you know, it seems crazy to have two. It makes no sense, but. The both stores seem full when I go. And I agree with Ellen, it does seem to be a different audience. I see different friends in one than I see in the other. And again, that makes no sense. I don't know if the Walmart will change that and the Sam's will change that. I know the Walmart on Forest, I don't find to be an enjoyable place to shop. So I'm excited about having two Targets. I hope the new Walmart that will stay nice and clean and tidy and orderly. The one on Forest, I don't enjoy going to.
I actually do. My favorite thing about the Medallion Target is that you can park in this little place in the back, and they actually have a security guard there at all times. And it's just so much easier to get out of to park in the back and get out of. And I say on the back. I'm not actually. I think it's Southwestern is the street.
Right.
On the non-busy side, essentially, and the security guard is there, and it's just not that far to walk, and you do end up having to walk from the front of the store to the back of the store to get out, but it's a fun little perk, I think.
It's not a bad Target. It's not a secret anymore, Carrie.
Okay, everyone will have to just...
You'll have to fight
that's
for
a
that
plug.
Target.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a neighborhood plug, in a sense, except it's, I guess, on the other side of the neighborhood. Let's go ahead to our shameless neighborhood plug this week. Ellen, how about you?
Okay, I'm going to talk about tires. A few weeks back, I had asked if anyone knew where you could go and get air in your tire for free. I was told, and I mentioned then it was Lake Highlands Automotive would do that for you, so that's great. And then one person did answer me, Peggy Hill, who's in Lake Highlands. I think she's a realtor here. She mentioned that when you need tire, anything to do with tires, go to the neighborhood C&M Tires, which is across the street from the property that we were discussing at Audelia and Walnut Hill. So that would be the northwest corner. A friend had told her, you know, if you want to get no-nonsense tires, don't want to wait in line like you do at some of the big name places, we got one right here, and she spoke highly of it.
That's great. I think it's right next to JC's Car Wash, is that right?
That's right.
Which I always hear from neighbors about, saying it's just the best car wash in the neighborhood. I guess I need to experience that. Go ahead, girl. What's your shameless plug?
Well, the senior class is selling T-shirts to the community. It's one of the major ways that they raise money for their senior activities. Including the party after graduation and some of their fun activities, their lasting gift to the school. The T-shirts are a take on the Life is Good slogan on some T-shirts, and it says, Life is Good in Lake Highlands on the front. And on the back, it says, Live, Love, Lake Highlands. And you can get them in blue, orchid, or green in all sizes, including kid sizes and XXL. And you can get them from your favorite Lake Highlands High School senior, and we'll put more details on the blog.
Great. I orchid is appealing.
There you go. Got to have orchid.
Orchid. My plug this week is White Rock Coffee. As some people might know, they just opened their new White Rock Coffee Express in Hillside Village, Mockingbird, and Abrams. And this weekend, they're celebrating with some specials not only at the Hillside Village location, but also at the White Rock Coffee in our neighborhood, which is at Northwest Highway between Audelia and Ferndale. They'll have, I believe, $2 small lattes, $2 brewed coffee and muffin combos, and $1 large iced tea specials, which sounds incredible to me. So I will be hitting up White Rock Coffee maybe a few times this weekend, and we'll have those details on the blog too. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Lake Highlands Podcast. This has been an edition of Advocate Radio.